Hello, I'm your host, Aaron Rittmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight for Diz Dad's podcast number 414 for Sunday, July 10th, 2016, are Kevin Crossman.
Aloha.
Jeff Swearingen.
Good evening.
And David Platt.
Hey, everybody.
Now, tonight we're continuing the My Disneyland tournament. We've got another first round group to go through this week, looking this time at the Magic for All Ages quadrant. That's kind of the lower left-hand part of the bracket. If you've got your bracket that you're following along at home, I know that you're trying to make sure that your picks survived. I know that the gambling traffic in the pools is hot and heavy from what I hear, but we don't know anything about that. Not letting it influence us in any way. So we're going to dive into those attractions that are magic for all ages in just a minute. But first, I'd like to take a moment and thank our sponsor, Fantastic Memories Travel, and its MouseMaster Travel Group. The MouseMaster Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and MouseMaster agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so you can focus on the fun. You can check them out at MouseMasterTravel.com. All right, gentlemen, through two rounds, things are, or through two quadrants at least, it's been, pretty interesting in the first rounds. Usually we get, one really tight matchup, but I'm thinking that this time through, we might have a few more heavily contested first round matches than really any of the other quadrants.
Yeah, there are a couple of interesting pairings here for sure.
All right, well, let's just jump right in. And our first matchup is a couple of true Disneyland classics, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride and Autopia. Kevin, I'll let you get us rolling. You want to pick a side and make an argument?
Sure. So these first four matches are from the Prince Quadrant. So these are rides that are generally oriented to boys. Doesn't mean it has to be perfectly that way. And then we'll get to the princess ones later. So Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, everyone's favorite, cult favorite dark ride against Autopia, where many a child has gotten behind the wheel for the first time. And, to your point, I think this is a pretty tough matchup because I think that there ought to be, anyway, a lot of debate on this one because I think that these are both very good attractions for what they are and have a lot of pluses. I guess for my vote, I guess I will go Mr. Toad, but I would not gripe if it went the other way. I think, it's nice that this classic attraction, which has some subversive elements and some scary elements, still exists at Disneyland. And Autopia, it just got the re-theme with Honda as a sponsor, and it's still lots of fun. I just wish it went back to the old days where there was no track in the middle. Or electric cars so that I don't, choke to myself death when I'm, waiting to come into the garage. But either way, it's a good choice. I want to go Mr. Toad.
Okay. So Kevin has kind of set out some of the big arguments and come down maybe a bit tepidly, but at least come down on the side of Mr. Toad. Jeff, are you in agreement with Kevin or, did he forget something about Autopia?
I am Mr. Toad all the way. It is the only Disney attraction left which you can actually go to heck. So
that's true. And how many of us have wanted to send a family member there in the middle of a vacation?
Sometimes we bring them with us. So
no, honey, you ride.
All right. So we've got two votes right up front for Mr. Toad. This is one that, at least Kevin thought might be a little close. David, are you going to, try and give me a reason to make a tie here?
I don't think so. I think I come down for Mr. Toad, too. It's not, a runaway. I mean, it's. I had to think about this one for a bit. The thing that tipped me over the edge, I think, although I really enjoy Autopia, the queue is so brutal. I mean, mm-hmm. out there in that hot, blazing sun, there's barely any shade until you get to that middle part. And then you have to go back out in the sun again. It's just not an enjoyable experience all around for me, except for the few minutes that you're on the ride. And like Kevin said, I really wish they could get rid of that beam in the middle. But wow, you think the wait times are bad now? It would get five times as bad. But yeah, Mr. Toad for me, it's you know, it's that classic Disney ride. Like Kevin said, I'm glad it's still there. It's usually a fairly short wait, unless the park is super crowded. So, yeah, I think it's a clean sweep for Mr. Toad.
All right. Well, it sounds like it. So Mr. Toad will advance 3-0, not quite the acclamation that we've had from the first matchup of a quadrant so far, but it seems solidly advancing. You know, I guess for me, the ideal of Autopia is better than the existence, you know, the current existence of Autopia. which is why I think it makes so much sense that Mr. Toad is what's advancing. You know, Kevin and David both pointed out the real flaws there. I mean, it just seems to me that especially this last round where they, you know, brought in Honda as a sponsor and did all this retheming, seems to me that was the perfect opportunity to swap out the, you know, what are they, two-stroke diesel engines, basically? That they could have changed those out for electric, and it's just a missed opportunity.
Now, I haven't seen it since the retheming. How much did they actually change it? Was it just some branding that changed here and there? Or... Kevin, you've seen it, right?
I mean, I haven't seen it live yet, but certainly there's a color theme, and they changed some of the car vehicles, like the body. So there's Honda branding on there too. And, you know, it's a little bit brighter, bluer type of theme.
Yeah, it was mostly a visual facelift.
Okay.
All right, so Mr. Toad advances. You know, poor Bob Gurr, his Autopia vehicles will fall by the wayside. And we'll move on to the second matchup in this quadrant. And this one is intriguing to me. This is our first, I think, character experience in the tournament. And we have Mickey's House and the, you know, Meet Mickey meet and greet up against Gadget's Go Coaster, which, you know, had kind of an oblique reference last week when I was corrected that there was another, you know, introductory level roller coaster that's part of the Disneyland Resort. So I don't know. Let's see. Jeff, why don't you get us started this time? You know, Mickey's House over there in Toontown or its neighbor, Gadget's Go Coaster?
I'm going to lean towards Mickey's House mainly because of what Gadget's Go Coaster doesn't have. It is so sparse on theming. It's jammed back into the corner of Toontown, and it is so low capacity. The ride's what, an entire minute long?
I think it's up to a full minute.
Yeah, it really seems to be more of a waste of space than anything right now. So that's why I'm leaning towards Mickey, just because of everything that Gadget doesn't give you.
Okay. So Jeff sort of backed into a vote for Mickey's house and the meet and greet there. What do you think, David?
First off, 44 seconds. That's how long it is.
Not even a full minute.
Right. And that is why I also have to go with Mickey. I think it's an enjoyable coaster for what it is. I mean, it is an introductory coaster, so I'm glad it's there for that reason. It's a nice ride. It's a nice first ride for kids who maybe have not been on thrill rides before, and you want to kind of build on that to get them up to bigger and better things. But it's just way too short for me to go with it. So I've got to go with Mickey's House. And I think even without the meet and greet, Mickey's House is still pretty awesome. It's themed so well. My daughter half the time just loves to walk through it and look around, and we just skip the meet and greet altogether.
Oh, wow.
But the meet and greet is just kind of the icing on the cake. And the way they have the meet and greet set up to enhance the capacity is pretty nice too. So yeah, another vote for Mickey's House here.
Okay. So Kevin, is Mickey's House a clean sweep, or are you going to, you know, at least make an argument here for Gadget?
Well, I think Gadget's Go Coaster as a roller coaster, it's actually not terrible. I think that if you get down to like the kinds of angles and the speed and some of that, it's maybe arguably better
or better ride experience than Matterhorn is. Because there are some pretty good dips and stuff on that coaster, and I think it does serve a really important and useful purpose here in the park. But no, I'm not going to go for Gadget's Ghost Coaster. I think Mickey's House is so awesome. Just the walkthrough, the theming. It's such an example of why Toontown really needs to stay at Disneyland, because it's so well done. You know, all the little things to look at and some of the interactive elements in that house. The film situation, when you're waiting to meet Mickey, you get to see some cartoons, which is a lot of fun too. And yeah, that meet and greet is pretty, pretty cool. So I'm going to vote for Mickey's House too.
All right.
Not quite as close as the other one, but it is a clean sweep, but I think it's closer than the vote indicates.
All right. Could be. I mean, I think we also have a situation here where this panel, it seems to me, is pretty clearly not a fan of, you know, very brief attractions with long waits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when that you take those kinds of things into account, it's hard for an attraction like Gadget's Go Coaster to last very long. Okay, so we have another relatively strong showing from a winner here from Mickey's House. We move now to really a matchup between serious contrasts. We have the classic spinny ride, not Dumbo type spinny, but old school spinny, the Mad Tea Party, against Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage. Another classic attraction, sort of on its maybe second, you know, second life with a new theme. And David, I guess you're up first this time.
All right. I would have to be first on the one I was the most conflicted about. Great. Wow, these both have such, I mean, they both have some real positives. I think it's going to come down for me purely to personal preference. I'm not, never been a big fan of Mad Tea Party. I'm not a big fan of most spinny rides. It's fairly simple, whereas I find Finding Nemo, even though it's incredibly slow loading, it's going to take a big chunk of time out of your day. And the situation down in the subs with the stale air and the claustrophobia is sometimes not pleasant. I think I'm going to have to go with it, because the experience itself is so cool. They did a really good job for the time that it was built of incorporating the animations into the water. Animated characters really look like they're swimming around in the water. I think they could probably do a better job if they were building the ride today. But I think it was a great retheme of a classic ride, and I'm going to have to go with that, even with all its issues with slow loading and long wait times and all that.
All right. So Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage bucks a trend a bit, perhaps. Kevin, you agree with David, or do you get this one wrong?
Well, I'd say Mad Tea Party, you can have some long lines there on busy days too, because it's a cycle ride. So, you know, when the ride's going, everyone else is just sitting around. I really like the Mad Tea Party. I've had lots and lots of fun on that attraction over the years. I had more fun back in the old days where you could spin it faster. And so for that reason, I am going to throw my vote over to Finding Nemo. You know, it'd be great if Disneyland could just, you know, put more grease in the wheels or, I don't know, something to make you go a little bit faster, because they've really slowed that thing down compared to what it used to be. And I still think Finding Nemo is a great attraction. I like the overlay. I probably prefer the overlay versus the old version, given the new technology and some of the upkeep that they've done on the attraction. And I still think it's really cool to go inside the submarine, claustrophobia and tight quarters and all. So that's my pick.
Okay. So strong argument there from Kevin. Two votes for Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage. Jeff, is it a clean sweep?
It's a clean sweep. Going into the submarines takes you into a completely different environment that you can't find anywhere else at the park. And even though some of the effects are a little dated, it really does give you an entire different feeling of escapism that you aren't going to get anywhere else in Disneyland or even out east at this point. The fact that you at least are underwater or in a simulated underwater environment for the entire time is worth it, in my view, to give this a step up over Tea Party.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing for me. I think Submarine Voyage, I think you all made the right call. I think it wins for a couple of reasons, in addition to all the things that you've already said. You know, I think one is that, and I guess this one was at least mentioned somewhat, you know, the Mad Tea Party isn't that different from parts of, you know, carousel rides that you can find in anybody's town, you know, hometown. You know, they've got little sections that have, you know, spinning teacup type pieces. You have them on playgrounds for that matter. You don't have submarines. They're a truly unique experience that you're just not going to get someplace else. And the second thing is, and you know, it's something that it's just a little issue, but it means a lot to people like me. I have claustrophobia issues. I don't think I could ever ride the Finding Nemo Submarine Voyage, but I can still kind of experience the attraction because they do have that sort of, you know, viewing room that they can use for people who have claustrophobia issues or mobility issues that prevent them from being able to get down into the sub. And that's something that you can't do on the Tea Party. I mean, you know, you may not spin as fast on the Tea Party, much to Kevin's chagrin, but you can't ride it without spinning. And so, you know, I think those are a couple of little bonuses that you get from the Finding Nemo submarines that, you know, only add to the reasons why it advances. Okay, so we've got three matchups complete. Next one up is, I guess, some thematically related attractions. We have the Casey Jr. Circus Train against Dumbo the Flying Elephant. And we're back around here to Kevin. So, you know, Kevin, why don't you give us an argument for either the Circus Train or good old Dumbo?
Well, everyone loves Dumbo, but I am going to go with Casey Jr. here, and it's a little bit of a personal preference. You know, I love just trains in general, and I'm not a train nut like some people are, really. But in this case, I actually kind of like the fact you're actually in the train. I like the monkey cage where you can get inside there. And it also, I enjoy just the fact that you're traveling through an environment, you know, above Storybook Land, and you get to see the little houses and all the other elements of Storybook Land up from above. And there are some little mild thrills with this attraction. So for me, I mean, nothing against Dumbo, but I'm going to vote for Casey Jr.
Okay. So we have one vote for Casey Jr. Jeff, is he right?
I'm also voting for Casey Jr. Dumbo is the quintessential attraction for kids, but it's a very short cycle ride. Casey Jr., on the other hand, you get a pretty decent ride on it, and you get wonderful views of the Storybook Land, plus parts of Fantasyland when you have a chance. You have the cages or the caboose, so you have the ability to ride facing front or back, and it's a train. I will be the train nut here. Trains are awesome.
All right.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. I figured that was coming. All right, so we've got a couple of train nuts who have got Casey Jr. out in front. Dave, you're going to give me a chance to make a tie here? Give me an excuse to make a tie here? Or you agree?
Well, I thought this was going to be one where we finally diverge a little bit, but it's going to be a clean sweep for Casey.
Wow.
I'm as surprised as everybody, I think. I just don't find Dumbo exciting. I mean, it's great for kids. You get some nice views of Fantasyland, but you get better views of, you know, the Storybook Land area on Casey Jr., There is the great bonus, as Kevin and Jeff have both pointed out, of riding in the monkey cage. You got to do that at least once every trip. And, yeah, Casey's going to take it.
Okay.
Well, we don't number these, but if we did, that would be a number three seed that's gone down here.
Yeah, wow. Well, you know, I was curious about that, and I almost wonder whether there's a bit of cultural shift going on, because, it wasn't that long ago that Dumbo really was in a lot of ways the signature attraction of Disney theme parks, right? I mean, it's the only attraction I know of that, the folks over at Touring Plans have a whole touring plan named after it, right? It's the Dumbo or Die plan.
Yep. Well, when my older son was really young, maybe four, we found ourselves in, the mid-afternoon, nothing to do. We asked him what he wanted to do, and he said, "I want to ride Dumbo." And we said, "The line might be pretty long." He said, "Well, it's what I want to do anyway." And we got there, and it was a 45-minute wait. And we told him it was 45 minutes. He said, "That's okay." And, this was before the days of smartphones and tablets and other things to keep your mind occupied in the line. And he didn't cry or complain for the entire 45 minutes it took for us to get there. And so that is a pretty special attraction, I have to say. But yes, maybe the bloom is off the rose to Dumbo. Ironically, after they did this stuff in Walt Disney World, I think now it's not as elusive anymore because, well, anyone can ride it or whatever.
Well, and I think, at least in Walt Disney World, I think it just emphasized how much location mattered. It's no longer directly in your line of sight as you walk under the castle. Never the case at Disneyland anyway.
Yeah, well, Walt knew something about weenies, right?
This is true.
Location, 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 right?
Yeah.
Really, one of the only things that made me possibly go for Dumbo over Casey Jr. was that, one of the reasons I picked Casey Jr. was because of the nice view you get of Storybook Land. And you get virtually the same view when you ride the canal boats, which is coming up soon.
Right.
But
right.
It just wasn't enough to sway me. I still enjoy the whole train experience too.
Sure. All right. So the Casey Jr. Circus train will advance to round two, and we move on to the princess side of the Magic for All Ages. And the first matchup is, I'm really intrigued by this one. We have It's a Small World and the Storybook Land Canal Boats. So two different boat rides, two different sort of slow-moving dark ride attractions, but very different experiences. So, Jeff, you're up first. Is it Small World or the Storybook Land Canal Boats, and why?
I'm going Storybook Land Canal Boats. You have a live cast member who is giving you a spiel the entire time. You are out in the open. It's not just a dark ride. You are, I guess a good way to describe it would be a light ride.
Because
you've got the dark ride experience, but you're in the middle of day. The detail on these miniatures is absolutely incredible. Sometimes I wish the boats would be stationary so I could look longer at some of these buildings and see what all they've got hidden in there.
All right. Well, there's the argument laid out for the Storybook Land Canal Boats. David, is he right?
This is a tough one for me. For all the reasons Jeff mentioned, Storybook Land is great. The detail on it is amazing. I love the patchwork quilt made out of all the different plants near the end of the ride. I love the addition of the Arendelle area. I know
I was just going to say, I was going to ask whether that was a benefit or a detriment.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, are not liking all the frozen stuff going into the parks. I think they did incorporate it extremely well. I think it fits right in. But ultimately, I'm going to have to go with Small World.
Uh-huh.
That is just, I surprised you there, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
I
didn't see that coming.
Yeah, there's just something magical about Small World. Yes, we all complain about the song. The song can get annoying, but I think it was a truly groundbreaking ride for its time, and it still holds that same magic today. I just asked my daughter before I started the podcast, what would you do in this matchup? And she said, oh, Small World, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And I asked why. Yeah, I asked her why. She said she just loves seeing all the different the representations of all the different countries. And she, of course, loves the little small touch they added, not a few years back, but of the Disney characters at the end,
right?
Incorporated near the end. And yeah, the it's just magical to me. I can't explain it really, but all it's right. The winner.
All right, so we've had an argument made for the Storybook Land Canal Boats from Jeff. We had an argument made for It's a Small World from David, almost after he made an argument for the canal boats.
Like I said, it was a close one for me. This was one of the most close.
So Kevin, who persuaded you?
Well, I persuade myself, of course, but I guess, but you know, David's argument has more of my taste. So I'm going to vote for Small World here as well. Again, very close vote. Again, Storybook Land. I really like the attraction. I like the live stuff. I like the Frozen incorporation. It's great. But It's a Small World. It's a longer ride. As much as people can harp on the song, it's, after a while, it's not like it just grates on you. I'm into it. I like the different versions of the song that they do when you go into the like the Polynesian area or whatever. I like the Disney characters that they added. I think that's a plus for this attraction as well. And I'm going to give, I guess, a little extra points for the sort of facade of the attraction and the whole topiaries and the animals that are carved in the bushes and all that stuff. So It's a Small World is the winner for me.
And the Christmas overlay. Don't forget the Christmas overlay.
Christmas overlay is actually very nice here. You might argue about which version of the song is more of a, thing in your head. But anyway.
See, this puts me in an interesting position because I'm thinking through this and, I hear what you're saying about Small World and I think that the building itself gets it some credit because I agree that it's a beautiful building and they do a really nice job with that. The thing about it for me, though, is, we're talking about the My Disneyland tournament and I guess part of this is figuring out what that really means, right? Because on the one hand, Small World is clearly a defining attraction for Disneyland. I mean, it's one of the things that really kind of the park ended up being built around in some ways. But on the other hand, we've got Small World in just about every Disneyland park. Maybe in all of them, probably. Whereas this...
Go ahead.
Is it in all of them?
No. I was sensing where you were heading.
Yeah, you're seeing where I'm going. So,
yeah, it is in all of them.
Okay, I thought so. Whereas the Storybook Land canal boats are uniquely Disneyland's, and I know that there's another version of them, but it's still not a clone the same way that Small World is a clone.
Is not a clone.
No.
It's the original.
Well, but it's the same attraction.
Well, actually, technically, it's not the original.
Well, yeah.
True.
but the point is that it's the same experience essentially. It's the same theme, the same song, the same boat ride. Whereas Storybook Land Canal Boats is uniquely Disneyland's. And I give it a lot of credit for that. It's an attraction that has held up well over time. It's shown its ability to adapt and incorporate the new elements, the new film properties and all those kinds of things, can be integrated into the attraction without it losing what makes it unique. And I like that about it a lot. And I'm conflicted about it enough that I'm willing to force a tie here. I'm going to make the listeners weigh in. Now, I fully expect that I'm going to get trounced. I really do think that when it all comes out, chances are good that Small World's going to run away with this. But for me personally, I think Storybook Land Canal Boats, because of its uniqueness, because it's something that you can't do in any other Disneyland park, ought to advance. So, Kevin, you gonna go ahead and make the counter argument for the listeners?
No, I think you laid it out. I mean, okay. You're absolutely correct. It is unique. The one in Paris is similar, but there's no live narration. And so, yeah, I mean, and you're right, it's my Disneyland. If you prefer that, just the way I bet if we put it to a vote, Dumbo will probably win over Casey Jr., but they weren't voting in that round. So
right.
That's fine.
Yep. Yep. Panel.
I'm sure I'm sure the listeners will choose wisely, but it's either way is fine.
All right. So we do have our first tie of this segment of the bracket. And we continue along the princess challenge, or the princess part of the bracket, with really sort of a new school versus old school matchup. I like this one. We have The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh against Alice in Wonderland. And I believe Jeff is up first this time. So, Jeff, pick one and give us an argument.
This is probably the most difficult one for me. Winnie the Pooh is a very good attraction. It's a great slow ride. It's perfect for preschoolers. But Alice has the detail. It has the two layers. You're on the lower level and the upper level. You've got the trip outside. The effects are incredible. And Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh replaced Country Bear Jamboree. And that's the the final straw. So it's got to go to Alice in Wonderland.
All right. So Alice gets Jeff's vote, both for its own merits and in a bit of spite there for Winnie the Pooh. I don't know. Kevin, is he on the right track?
I'm going to vote for Alice on this one, too. I think that to me, this is one of the best dark rides there is, and it might be interesting in a couple rounds to see where this lands. But, the additions that they've made using some of the projection technology really enhance this attraction, and they finally figured out what they needed to do on that outside portion so that they could still have an outside portion and have you feel like you're going over the leaves and have it be, within safety guidelines or whatever. So, I think Alice in Wonderland is one of the best attractions. And, when you have the Mad Hatter store there and you've got the Mad Tea Party right next door, it's sort of a little mini Alice Land over there in Disneyland. So I will vote for that. And, I did not cry a tear when Country Bears went away, but unfortunately, Winnie the Pooh, not quite up to par as Alice.
Okay. So we've got two votes for Alice. I don't know, David, are your colleagues correct?
I think they're on the right track, yeah. I like both of these rides. Well, I like Winnie the Pooh, but I love Alice in Wonderland. Winnie the Pooh, I think, is a great first dark ride for kids. Again, along the lines of a Gadget's Ghost Coaster. It's a great introductory version of a dark ride to kind of work them up to other rides. But My vote has to go to Alice in Wonderland. It tells a much better story. As Kevin mentioned, the new addition of the animations work really, really well. I was worried when I heard they were doing that. I couldn't envision it working well in that classic ride, but it does. And like everybody else, I like the little trip outside at the top, and they finally got that, so it looks presentable finally. And my vote for Alice looks like another clean sweep.
Yeah, and frankly, there's no reason for it to be otherwise. I mean, I'm a big Winnie the Pooh fan, since childhood. I was a fan of the books, fan of the various versions of the film, although more the earlier versions. But all that said, the Alice in Wonderland dark ride is a dark ride that works and is constructed like dark rides should be. It's textbook. It tells a story. It's a beautiful attraction, both in terms of the physical element pieces and the projection pieces. They did such a nice job, I agree, of blending that new technology into an older ride. It was in some ways the highlight of my Disneyland trip was that Alice had reopened just a couple of weeks before my trip, and we got to experience it, and it lived up to the hype. So Alice advances easily over many adventures of Winnie the Pooh, maybe a bit surprisingly, more for the ease than the advancement. And now we get, this is another sort of intriguing matchup, just because of the contrast, I guess, between the participants. The next one here, we have Snow White's Scary Adventures against Fantasy Fair Royal Hall. And David, it's your turn to take the reins. You know, make us an argument. Who should advance between Snow White and the Fantasy Fair Royal Hall?
All right, this wasn't a very tough one for me at all. I think Snow White's Scary Adventures is one of the rare dark ride misses in Disneyland. I don't think it's a very good dark ride at all. I don't think it tells a good story. I think it's way too scary for most kids. I'm sure we've all heard stories of kids getting off that thing and never wanting to go on another dark ride again. And parents did it first just because it's a short line. There's a reason it usually has a short line. it's confusing. Whereas Fantasy Fair Royal Hall, come on. How many princesses can you meet? Three? Four? It's been a while since I've been in the line, but you got to meet princesses when you go to Disneyland. And other than paying for a meal at Ariel's Grotto, this is the best way to do it. Yes, it's going to have a long line, but you have a good payoff with at least three or four princesses and great interaction with them. So my vote has to go to Fantasy Fair.
All right, so David's gone new school. Jeff, you're our classicist. What do you think?
You already know my answer on this. It's going to be the Snow White Scary Adventures. It's a dark ride. It is a classic Fantasyland dark ride. Yes, it has its scary elements, but you even have that detail right up to the queen opening the curtains above the ride. Fantasy Fair Royal Hall, on the other hand, it's a princess meet and greet. And if you really want to stand in line to meet the princesses, that's fine. For me, I'm okay with my family just seeing them from the parade briefly. But if it was there in 1955, I'm going to stick with it. Snow White was an opening day attraction, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I'm sticking with Snow White.
All right. So, Kevin, we've got the new school from David. We've got the classicist Jeff. They've split predictably. What say you?
Well, I'd say that there is one at Dark Ride that didn't make our list entirely, so that's even worse than Snow White. thank you. Sorry, Pinocchio fans. Anyway, I really like Snow White's Scary Adventures. I think that it isn't for everyone, that's for sure. But at least it has scary in the name, so you kind of hopefully know what you're getting into. But I do agree that there's some problems there, and I think that the Fantasy Fair Royal Hall is, as meet and greets go, is outstanding. And I like the fact you can meet a bunch of different princesses. I like the little magic about how they do the capacity, how they dress the capacity there. And, that whole area, I'll be honest, when they announced that they were getting rid of the Carnation Gardens, I thought, this is a mistake. This is terrible. But I really, really feel like I eat my words on that because, I mean, we'll talk about the theater in the next round. But the meet and greet here is pretty good, and the whole theming of the area, this half of the Fantasy Fair, is really great. So I'm going to go for the Royal Hall.
Yeah, they got that area exactly right, I think, that whole area.
All right, well, I can hear Jeff psychically begging me to make a tie here. But as much as I'd like to help a brother out, I just can't do it. Sorry, I agree with David. I get that there's nostalgia for things that are an opening, for it because it's an opening day attraction. I get that there are some unique elements about it that, make Snow White Scary Adventure sort of special for some people. I think that it's really hard to argue with the fact that it's a really twisted and not in a, you know, fun, evil, twisted way, a really twisted way of telling the story. It never really worked. And trying to fix it didn't really fix it. It just made it more confusing. You know, I mean, the original concept that you were Snow White, and so that's why Snow White didn't appear in the attraction, you know, and then guests still didn't get it, so they found places to include Snow White. It just made it more confusing. I think that this one is one that, at this point, the only reason it's still open is because it was open in 1955. I really feel like if there was an evaluation done of it on its own merits, it would be getting redesigned or eliminated. So,
hey, do you think they could put a Seven Dwarfs coaster in the footprint of Pinocchio and Snow White?
No.
No.
Is it too? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, because, well, see, the problem with especially something like Seven Dwarfs is that you need a mountain, right? And
Right.
You've got the base of the mountain just takes up so much space.
Yeah, I haven't been to Disney World since I came in, so I have no clue of the size, but I know it's not so huge. But anyway, fair enough.
Yeah, it's deceptively large because a good chunk of it, you know, the back chunk of it is kind of offstage. You don't see it. It's the backside.
Mm-hmm.
But it still kind of has to be there so that the mountain stays up, you know, just for support.
I do find it interesting that you said that Snow White was a twisted attraction when its neighbors are Pinocchio and Mr. Toad. Is that the baseline we've got to go with that?
I didn't say that those weren't twisted.
That's true.
They're twisted, but the story makes sense. That's my
issue, and that's what I mean by twisted, right? My issue with it is that they had to contort the story because the narrative doesn't work in the dark ride.
No, I think they just ran out of space.
Well, I'm sure they did, but that's the point, right? I mean, I get that it's frustrating when you run out of space, but when you've run out of space and you don't have room to tell the story, then maybe you need to tell a different story. Or tell it in a different way. Because I feel like this one makes the attraction makes the story harder to follow instead of being a summary of the story that makes it easier to follow.
Fair.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we have maybe a somewhat surprising win for the New School Fantasy Fair Royal Hall over Snow White's Scary Adventures. Jeff is I'm sure cursing me under his breath. That's what mute button's for. So now we have another sort of new school versus old school, although this time from denizens of the same milieu, as I play with vocabulary words. And we have our final matchup here, Pixie Hollow versus Peter Pan's Flight. And let's see, I think Jeff, this is you first. So what do you think? New School Meet and Greet or Peter Pan's Flight? Gee, where would Jeff be going?
Even after Aaron just ripped apart Snow White and ripped my heart out, which is fitting for that ride.
But I'm bummed.
Peter Pan is probably one of the best dark rides that the Disney's ever done, especially with the new effects they've added in. And that pushes it to the top here. Even with my disdain for meet and greets, there is just so much quality in Peter Pan's Flight that it overcomes its incredibly bad load times and the fact that you're queuing out in the hot California sun the entire time.
Okay.
So I'm going with Peter Pan's Flight.
All right. So an enthusiastic endorsement of Peter Pan's Flight from Jeff. What do you think, Kevin?
I think Peter Pan is one of the best attractions in the entire park. It has a chance, although at odds, to actually win this entire tournament. And, you know, it's just really magical the way you go through and, you know, the unique ride system where you're hanging down below and you're floating in a boat. And, you know,
just great touches with the ride over London and some of the battle scenes from the movie and Captain Hook and the crocodile and all that stuff. So Peter Pan's Flight got to win this attraction matchup.
All right. So we got Peter Pan votes predictably from the expected classic attraction supporters on the panel. Now, David, I know you've had some interesting experiences there in Pixie Hollow. I'm wondering whether they're enough to, put Pixie Hollow ahead of Peter Pan here and, put me in the position of needing to decide whether to make a tie.
Well, I have had some very interesting experiences there. It's probably my favorite meet and greet in either park. I think that the way that they designed it, where it makes you feel like you're shrinking down to fairy size before you meet Tink and her friends, is very well done. Tinkerbell is consistently one of the most entertaining characters to meet. She's always on. She can always bring a smile to any kid's and most of the time any adult's face. But come on, it's Peter Pan. It's freaking Peter Pan. You mentioned in the in your review of Snow White's Scary Adventure, Aaron, how badly it tells the story of the movie.
Yeah.
Peter Pan is a case where it gets it exactly right telling the story. It really has a strong narrative flow. The moment where you get into that big area with the twinkling stars around you is beautiful. It just has this sense of space that isn't there. I mean, it's such a small area that you're actually in. As Kevin said, the hanging from the track above you adds a whole nother element to the ride that just adds to the magic. It's what else can be said? It's Peter Pan. It's got to have my vote.
Yeah, and I agree 100%. I think Peter Pan is going to be a serious contender in this tournament for all the reasons you just said. And Jeff may be the only one who mentioned it, but they just completed some really nice updates to Peter Pan that I thought did a nice job of integrating into the classic attraction new elements without either overpowering the old elements or, giving short shrift to their new technical capabilities.
Yeah, the only thing I think that didn't really work well there was the flattening of London, the flattening of the streets below you where you don't really get the detail you had before. It kind of looks like Google Maps to me.
Okay.
Now, otherwise, I completely agree. The little animations on Big Ben and things like that are just brilliant touches that really add to the story.
All right. That was our last matchup there in the Magic for All Ages region. So let's do just a quick rundown here of how the region has played out to this point. We have Mr. Toad advancing to round two over Autopia, Mickey's House and the Mickey Meet and Greet over Gadget's Go Coaster, the Finding Nemo submarines advance over the Mad Tea Party, Casey Jr. Circus Train over Dumbo the Flying Elephant. We have a tie that we were going to need the listeners to resolve for us between It's a Small World and Storybook Land Canal Boats. Then Alice in Wonderland over Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Fantasy Fair Hall in a maybe somewhat surprising win over Snow White's Scary Adventures. And finally, Peter Pan's Flight over Pixie Hollow. Now, you heard a lot of opinions from us tonight. We'd love to hear from you and hear your thoughts. You're going to have opportunities to vote in that Small World versus Storybook Land Canal Boats matchup. The poll will get posted the day after this episode posts. So starting on July 11th, you'll be able to cast your vote. And we'll keep those votes. We'll keep collecting them until we get to round two for this region. So you'll have plenty of time to make your opinions felt. In addition to casting your votes, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com, visit our blog, dizdads.com, Tweet us at DizDads Podcast on Twitter and participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/DizDadsPodcast. Until next time, I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Kevin Crossman.
Good night, and please vote, everyone.
Jeff Swearingen.
Good night, and remember that country bears will live forever.
And David Platt.
Thanks for listening.